Our topic for the day, we're going to be talking about kingdom and our kingdom Bible study. We are talking about the mind of a false system, the mind of a false system. And first of all, we want to look at what is a system. And I kind of took some definitions out there that like is in Wikipedia and other definitions. But I felt like it, did not line up to the biblical perspective, so I added my own little twist to it. And what is a system? A system is a design, is designed by individuals, leaders, inventors, governments, religious systems, religion, and it is grouped for interacting and interrelating elements of input, things that are put into that system to make something act according to a set of rules, regulations, methods, different things to make a mechanism to make it happen in order to gain an expected output. So we also want to look at what are the features of a system? What are the keys of a system that make it function? Each system has a master plan. So that system is designed from a higher top level, and that system is designed in a way to where it will make other people. Or I'm looking at it from a biblical perspective, and I'm looking at it from our day and according to the prophecies that have come forth. We want to look at it in that way. So we have good master plans that is designed by our Abba Father, and we also have bad systems, bad plans. That are design systems at a top level that to combat the kingdom system, to come against the kingdom system, to extract from the kingdom system. And so we're looking at the features of systems. We're looking at the keys of system. And again, one of them is the master plan of a system that is designed from a top level. Now we know the kingdom system has only one level, and that would be Abba Father. That would be the Most High, who is the creator of this world. He is Elohim. So, with the kingdom system, there is only one, in the kingdom of God, there is only one level. And it is designed from him, and there is no other way. But with other systems, we find that you have hierarchies upon hierarchies. And when we were, if we were looking at it from an IT perspective, we would see a system, and then it may have a subsystem. Or it may have applications and it may have sub applications. Like Google, for instance, Google has Google and then it has Google Apps. And under Google Apps, you have all kind of other little things that you can do still up under Google, which you might be using the Word documents. You might be, or not. What we call Microsoft Word, but you may be using Sheets. You may be using the different other features that it has to offer. So a master plan, again, is a part of the feature of a system. And again, it starts from a top level. And then it from there it is hierarchied out. So you have levels upon levels upon levels in a false system. Then we have another feature, and that is the input that what goes into the system. Whatever you put into the system is what is going to come out. So if you put psychology in, psychology will come out. If you put sociology in, sociology will come out. If you put tricks, schemes, and devices of the enemy in, that's what's going to come out. Tricks, schemes, and devices of the enemy will come out. If it's pure, unadulterated Holy Ghost word, you're going to get pure, unadulterated Holy Ghost word. And with that, you're going to have transformation. You will
Okay.
have change in the environment
Okay.
because that is what will make change come forth. When Joshua was walking in the earth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth was walking in the earth. He was coming with unadulterated,
Amen.
pure Holy Ghost word.
Amen.
So, if you put in marketplace ministry, you're going to get marketplace ministries out of it. You will not get the Holy Ghost. You will not get the kingdom of God out of that. You will not get the presence of God in it. So if we have the kingdom of God, you're going to get the kingdom of God out of it. If you have Emmanuel God with us, it will be Emmanuel God with us on the output.
Amen.
And so with that means that a system also is processed, meaning that it is what is being processed in the system. So this is again a feature. And within that system, there is a feature, and that is what is being processed in that system. So if you have a system and you have things that are going into that system, it's going to be processed. How will it be processed? Whatever is going into the mind, again, is what is coming out. Whatever is going, how can I put it in Bible terms? We look at it as the way he said, Yahshua said, it's not what is going into the body is what defiles it. Okay. So let's look at how that is being processed. What you put into the body, how it's being processed, is going to determine what is coming out. Okay. So we also can look at it this way, that when we have a process, the process gives you the same consistent results that the master planner or the master orchestrator is looking for on the other side. So those set of rules that are applied in the processing, if he has commands in it, if he has laws in it, if he has do this and do that in it, and it is done on the outside, on the next step, what is coming out is going to manifest unto his glory. But if we have a false system and you begin to process things by that system with consistency and repetition, you will get the results that the master who planned it or orchestrated it was looking for, not that of a kingdom result. A kingdom result will result the glory of the Father in the end. Another system will bring back a different type of result that will bring favor to the master who created that system. And it's a repeatable process that allows the planner to determine how they will scale and increase the type of output that they want. It's not one that is given by the Father, because the Father is plain and pure and simple. He's not going to give you something that is hard. He's going to give you something that is easy to process and transform you and bring you into a renewed state of mind. So with this other system, it will again produce an output that is not of God. And it will have some quality, and it will have some appearance of being good for you, but it is not going to be sustainable. It is not going to empower you. It is not going to equip you. So these are important things to take into consideration when you are looking at where you are now. Are you tied to a system? And you are you thinking out things yourself, or are you responding based on the output that that system wanted you to have? So if I watch the news every day and the media is telling me something and looking for me to have an expected output based on what I'm taking in, and I repeatedly take it that in and give that output, then there's an ex something that is going to give that master planner of what the media put out in my system, in my mind, to function the way they wanted me to. And because I'm not thinking it out myself, because I have to think, is this credible? Is this real? Is there facts to this, what is being told? What is the reason the entity or the system or the master plan? What is the reason that they are giving me this information? What is the reason that I'm taking in this psychology? What is the reason that I'm partaking in this psychic network? What is the reason that I'm drawing from these sources? And what is it giving me? Is it giving me a quality that is empowering me and equipping me to stand more in faith with my father, to stand in his relationship with him? Or is it something that is going to take me farther away from where he has designed for me to be? So when we're looking at these outputs, it can also give you again the same quality every time the mind thinks or respond to given inputs. So every time your mind respond to given inputs, where is it taking you? Is it building your relationship? Is it empowering you? Is it giving you the mind of Christ to function? Is it taking you where he has ordained for you to be at, especially in this season and time?
Amen.
And so another feature again of a system is the output. What is the output of the system? The output is what was designed and projected by the master planner to come out. What was their expected outcome? What did they want to be on the other end of what they have input into you and put into your mind? It is expected, the expected result of what is said and repeated over a given time by the planner or the orchestrator to come out of one who does not take time to think for themselves. So if I don't take time to think for myself, if I don't study and show myself approved in the Word of God, and I'm taking in what the system is giving me, and I just take it in and not study and not try to get the facts, not try to get understanding, not try to gain more wisdom, where am I going with this if it is the wrong input that is going into my mind?
Amen.
And what is sustaining the system? That is another feature. What is sustaining that system? Is it the repetition? Is it brainwashing techniques? Is it drama? Because a lot of times we see in this hour, we see a lot of drama. And so when the drama come or when the traumatic events occur, is there an expectation for the people to respond in a certain way to that drama, to that traumatic event, that they will begin to act out their lives a certain way, act it out in fear, or act it out in a pleasure, or act it out in any emotion? What is the expected response? So if I turn up the tune and I release a lot of drama, you there's an expected outcome, and that expected outcome is going to be measured. It's going to be measured by surveys. It's going to be measured by data. So the next feature would be the lessons learned in that system. So the master planner or orchestrator will watch and listen for the responses and the behaviors to learn more ways on how to benefit from their original plan. So once I see the responses and I measure the impact of the outcomes with surveys and other data and just watching the population in general, watching the people that they are assimilating the information to, then I can assume that I can learn from this. And if I see that the next feature, which is how the lessons learned are recycled in the system to keep it flowing. So if I have learned that this ticked people and it made them buy, then I can learn from that lesson and I can compile it, assimilate it, amend my original plan to orchestrate them and reinforce it and turn it up and increase the input more and get my expected outcome in areas most needed. So if I want to create fear, then I can take the lessons learned. Oh, this made people afraid. When they were afraid, they went to these environments. When they were afraid, they stayed at home. When they were afraid, they went and they spent money and bought items. So now that I know that this created fear, then let me turn up my master plan, my orchestration in this season so that I can get more people to assemble based on the system that I have created. And once they process it, I will get the perfected outcome. When we look at the basis of systems according to the Bible, and I'm not going to go, this is just part one. We will be going into part two in the near future, but I'm want to let me release this last part of the system, the hierarchies upon hierarchies of the system that keep it flowing. So the master planner, it starts from the top and they release it down to the next level and it goes to the next level and it goes to the next level. And all of these things, we can see them in the Bible. If we learn, especially from when Joshua, the Messiah, the Yahshua HaMashiach, was in the earth, we can truly see how systems function, how these features appear, and how they increase the stamina of it to turn the dial up on it when they want to. Okay, so if I want to stimulate the crowd this way, I have to come out and I have to approach Joshua in the open. And I see how the crowd respond, then I know what to do the next time. And I know what to do the next time. And know what to do the next time until they can turn the dial up. So these original master planners, they pass down the plan and release inputs to gain expected outputs for their benefit and their agenda. Their agenda alone, it has nothing to do with Abba Father. It has to do with their agenda. Have you ever turned on the television or the radio or YouTube and there are certain people you may listen to, and you'll find out that some of them are all given the same message. Why is that? What are they trying to turn up? What are they trying to release? What is the agenda? So when we look in the Holy Bible, there are many false systems there. Also known, you know, the Bible, Holy Bible, also known as the Torah. So let's look at these false systems a little bit here. And again, I'm not going to go over all of it in this session. We will return back to it in the future. And in the Torah, a false system that was of hierarchies upon hierarchies had a master plan. And it wasn't just at the level of the Pharisees. It was hierarchy upon hierarchy. It was not just at the Pharisees. A lot of people think that it was just the Pharisees that worked there. You know, that's what the major focus would become. But, you know, they were put in place by someone, and they were allowed to do certain things. But when the Romans wanted them to assimilate something out, they went to the Sadducees. They went to the high priest. But we know that the highest part of it all is always Satan. And the enemy is Satan. And he was the original planner. And even before the coming of the Messiah into the earth, before Jesus the Christ, the Yahshua HaMashiach, was coming into the earth, the master planning began. It was even master planned by the kings and the princes of darkness. Even before his birth, it was a false system designed to keep the children of God, the children of God, the Most High, from knowing and experiencing the truth and spirit of the Most High in the earth unto eternity. So I want to start with the revelations of the coming of Christ. And there are many, many revelations in the Bible. We know that in Genesis 49:10, it says, and I'm not covering all of them, but I want to focus on these particular ones for a reason. The Bible says that the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. That's Genesis 49:10. Then when we go into Psalms 45, it gives the same mention of that same scepter, which is Yahshua HaMashiach. So in Psalms 45, it says, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of the ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O mighty, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. So one of the things that they did not want to prevail in the earth was his righteousness. So this, the mind of a false system will want to destroy anything that is right. Why? Because it puts a kink in the input, it puts a kink in the processes, it put a kink in the output. With righteousness come truth. So when the mind has the truth, it will be conscious of the input. When the mind has the truth, it will be conscious of how it is processed. When the mind has truth, it will be careful with its output. It will look at the facts. It will study the input before it allows it to enter and proceed to produce any type of emotion or output. So this they would not want to manifest righteousness and truth because the whole systems of the kings of darkness was established on false principality, false principles, false doctrine, false prophecy, falseness, false altars, false shrines, false processes, false rules, false regulations. So they would not want anything that is right to interrupt that. So in that, they definitely will want to cause stagnation, cause delays, cause limitations, set up barriers, set up any kind of obstacles, even trying to destroy the coming of this scepter. And so when we also look in Isaiah chapter 9, 11, and 53, and I'm going to 9 first. Can we have another king come in with such authority that we have to bow to it? That's from Judah, from the tribe of Israel, that honors God, that honors this big Hebrew Most High, and expect that we will be able to keep our wicked systems in place? No, they wanted to stop that. They wanted not to allow it to come into the earth. They did not want it to manifest the glory of God in the earth. Remember, they all wanted to make a name for themselves at the time of Babel. And so, wanting to make a name for themselves, they wanted to build a tower that would reach into the heavens so that they can control it. We see these things happening now. We see these things happening now in the earth. So I'm in Isaiah 9. And I'm going to start at 6. It says, "For us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. of the increase of his government, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so they knew that there was going to be out of David, I'm going to go to 11 first before I finish that comment. One second. Let me read it for you. Isaiah 11. And it says from verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and the righteous shall be girdle of his loins, and the faithfulness of the girdle of his reins. So they knew that, again, righteousness and truth was coming, and there was going to be someone who was getting ready to shift their atmosphere, because, again, they had a system set up in their kingdoms, these dark kingdoms, and these that had dark kings and dark priests that resided in these dark systems that were functioning in the earth, they knew these things were coming, because when the prophets are speaking, they know something is coming out of it. Something is going to manifest in the earth. And so there were certain leaders who knew of these prophecies. There were certain leaders in the earth that knew of these prophecies. And one of the things that Satan wanted to do, again, was to stop the birth of Joshua. And how about stimulating these wicked kings of the earth? How about stimulating the false systems of the earth that had been set up before time to destroy him? So they already had begun orchestrating. Oh, we have this person who is coming, who's going to be born, that's already a king. He's going to be born a king. He's already going to have righteousness. He's already going to be belted with the truth. He's already going to have all of this about him that we cannot have in the earth around us, because it will expose us. It will open up eyes to see. He will change the way. It will not just be a physical opening of the eyes, but it will be a spiritual opening of the eyes. It will not just be a physical opening of the ears, but there will also be a spiritual opening of the ears. And they did not want this around them, because with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. They didn't want that. They didn't want that coming around them. And so Satan naturally will try to destroy it before it comes in. And he will try to orchestrate in ways to stop the manifestation of the prophecies being fulfilled in the earth. And so I'm going to, I said, please read Isaiah 53. It talks about Joshua being bruised, being, taken to the cross. And we know that that was what they did want, because they now it gives them a speedy remedy in their orchestration to take him down, although they knew they could not touch him until the time came. Although Satan is kind of foolish, or he is foolish, so he will try anything, because he even came to tempt Yahshua. So we can never say that he will not try. And we see again these prophecies cycling back around again, where the prophecies are trying to be dismantled in the physical. We also see that the prophecies are trying to be delayed, or prophecies are trying to be stagnated. Things that are supposed to be fulfilled, they're trying to make it look like it's a lie, that the Father doesn't tell the truth, but the Father is also revealing himself to the body of Christ. So he will not leave the body of Christ left and undone without any knowledge of what he is doing. So in Psalms chapter 2, it says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord should have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." But did they listen? No, they wanted to keep with their wickedness. They thought that they were wiser. So the kings of the earth and the judges of the earth decided to do their own thing. And they think they're wiser. But before, when he was born, they believed that these things were going to happen, that when he was born, that the heathen would be for his inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for his possession. So they didn't want that. They didn't want him coming in and taking over. This specialized king of Judah, of Israel, coming in to that position? No, because they knew that the Most High would be with him if he's positioning him in the earth and he's saying that he will be his son. So they did not want this coming, and they wanted to destroy it as soon as they could have the opportunity to do it. So they knew the prophecies. They knew the word. And those that didn't know it, who did they go to? The high priest. They went to those that they put into position that knew the word. Okay? So hierarchies upon hierarchies. So when we look at this, we see the reason why these systems want to destroy prophecy, because they know they will not be able to function the way that they did before, They will not be able to do things as yesterday. They will not be able to create inputs and out processes and outputs for to get an expected outcome that they're looking for. So in order to do that, I will destroy what I fear. I will come against what I fear. I will create stagnation. I will create obstacles. I will create delays to keep this manifestation, thinking that they have power to stop prophecy. They didn't stop it at the time when Joshua was coming, and they will not do it again. Whatever the Lord has said to come forth, it will manifest to his glory, no matter all of the things that they try to put in. When they say, oh, there's not going to be any end times, nothing's going to happen. Yeah, they did that with Noah. And Joshua said it will be like in the times of Noah. And it will be like in the times of Jonah. It will be like in the times when the Queen of Sheba came seeking for wisdom, the wisdom of Solomon. But yet there's a greater wisdom that is in the earth. And we see that in Psalm 76, it says, to the chief musician on Nagonath, a psalm or song of Asaph, it says, in Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. In Salim, also in his tabernacle, in his dwelling place in Zion. And it says, there break he the arrows of the bow and the shield and the sword and the battle. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. Thou stout-hearted or spoiled, they have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horses are cast into a deep sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to the judgment to save all the meek of the earth, surely the wrath of men shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. He shall cut off the fear, the spirits of the princes, and he shall cut off the spirit of the princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth. They know these days are coming. These princes, these kings, they know these days are coming. These orchestrators, orchestrators of many things, orchestrators of war, orchestrator of hunger and poverty, orchestrator of many things in the earth. Orchestrator, these are planned and navigated systems to create sometimes fear, to create many things in the earth. And Psalms 89, it says, for the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. An everlasting King that they knew was coming. That nobody was going to be able to wipe out. That nobody was going to be able to shut up. That nobody, even though they crucified him, he still lives. That kind of God, that living God. They thought that they can put down to shame, has risen and is still living. In 19, it says, then thou spakest in vision to the Holy One and says, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people, and I have found David my servant with my holy oil, and I have anointed him with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. And he shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn. So out of David is coming the firstborn, which is Joshua, higher than kings of the earth. We can't have no other kings that's gonna go contrary. My mercy will I keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever in his throne as the day of heaven. Who knew these prophecies better than the chosen leaders? Who wanted to stop the fulfillment of the prophecies? It was them. And they created systems, hierarchies with hierarchies upon hierarchies to manage it in the earth. Those who held their positions and statuses in wickedness and high places, kings and princes of darkness, those who exalted themselves above man and woman, and even above God, those who carried titles and wore clothes that appeared of godliness, but inside the cup was dirty. Let's go further into the prophecies and see who they are and their character. Let's look at Isaiah 14. I'm reading from verse 4. Let me start from 3, so it'll make more sense. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. So it tells you kind of an idea, the same thing that was going on then is even going on now. And it kind of gives you an idea of what these kings were like. And it said that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city seized? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepters of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindered. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice in thee, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It is stirred up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into the heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof and opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nation, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as a remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, that go down in the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under the feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people, the seed of evildoers. Shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them with the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, said the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bitter and the pools of water, and I will sweep it with the basin of the destruction, and said the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. And he goes on and he continues from there. But I wanted to get that main point out of what kind of system was existing and what the thoughts of that system was, the mind of that system that was in existence in the earth, that was troubling Israel, troubling the children of the Most High, troubling the kingdom system that was mandated and ordered by God. They wanted to destroy it. They wanted to take it down. And the Most High was responding to that dark system. So there is a day and a time and an hour for that system to experience the total dismantling, totally being destructed and destroyed by the Most High. It will not prevail against the Most High, because he will have his ultimate way, and they will not be able to continue on with the destructions that they are making in the earth. in that day. So when we look at also Ezekiel 28, we can see these type of systems in place, and we can see how these systems have already thought that they were going to take over the kingdom system, the original system, the only true system in the earth, the only true system that was navigated by the manual of our Abba Father, that no one can overcome and overtake, but they think they can. They think they have the power to do so, regardless. And Ezekiel 28, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thou heart, thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man and not a God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. You see, they believe that they can function like God in the earth with their titles, their positions, their statuses, their own thrones that they have set up. But we can take remembrance that the book of Jeremiah, that he told those of Israel that went off base and started building up their systems the same ways of the systems of the earth. He told them, bring their thrones to the gates of Jerusalem so he can judge them. Now, how much more will he do for those that are setting up their own systems in the earth and also trying to cause the disruption of his kingdom order in the earth? And so when we get to 3 in Ezekiel 28, it says, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and has gotten gold and silver into thy treasures, their own agenda. But thy great wisdom and by thy traffic has thou increased thy riches, and thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and thou shalt draw their sword, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hands of strangers. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man. So we had the prince of Tyrus. So we have princes. We also have a king of Tyrus. Take up a limitation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus says the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmen's ship of thy tabrets and thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy way from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up before because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, and I will cast thee to the ground, and I will slay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all of them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shall you be any more. Shall thou be any more? And I'm going to stop right there. But there's many examples of these systems that existed in the earth, and that thought that they were higher than God, that thought that they, could overcome his prophecies to stop his what he had designed in the earth, what his kingdom mandate and order is. And so with that comes fear when he responds to them. And he had responded to them through the prophets. And so what exactly were they fearing? They were fearing a lot of things. They were fearing that their positions and their statuses, all of these things were going to go away. So again, when they saw that what the Father was getting ready to do about bringing the Son, his only begotten Son, into the earth, they wanted to destroy it. They just simply wanted to destroy it. But the Lord gave them what, told them what was going to happen. And they will not believe it until it comes to pass. And it is coming to pass. He is fighting battles for his children. And he will continue to fight those battles for his children. So what we have been talking about in this Bible study, we've been talking about the mind, what is the mind of a false system. And so we have looked at what a system is. We have looked at the features of a system, basically defining what keys are used to implement a system and keep it flowing, sustaining that system, that false system in the earth. We have talked about some of those systems that existed. We talked about what they knew of the prophecies as to why they wanted to stop the order, the kingdom mandated order, the prophecies of the Lord from being fulfilled in the earth. And so this is part one. We will continue, and we will look at what happened in the future when Yahshua was coming. And we're going to look at it from a biblical perspective. We're going to look at how even before he was born, how they implemented and how they structured and strategized to destroy the birth of Yahshua from coming into the earth. Thanks to everyone for listening. May the grace of God be with you.
Yeah, just like that. The speaker on the program, Donna, was saying that the same thing that happened back then, the same thing is happening now. You know, there are mandates in this world now, the systems of the world, and then you have the mandate and the structure of the kingdom of God. And there's a, like a order, they have people over it. They have protective, how do you say it? They have a structure in what they want to reap and what they want to manifest. They have, you see it in the music, you know, the music that they're putting out. You know, they have a set order. Especially if you look at the rap music, you know, the violence in it, it didn't start at that level. You know, it was changed, and it has a purpose for it, to breed violence, to breed destruction in a community. You have a structure in finances that targets one community, they target a person, you know, one people. It could be a racial thing. It could be just economics. You know, I was looking at a program where they were talking about how rich people are making money off of people buying Gucci and all of those, you know, different products, okay, main products. I just meant to say main products. And a lot of the rich don't buy that. But they're making money off because they sent an ideology that this is how you want to look cool. This lets people know that, you know, you're doing something and you're making it. You're not even, you may not even be paying your rent. This man had on a $600 sweatshirt. It's just a sweatshirt. It's cotton material. It looks like just like a tip of maybe $25 one, but just because it has that brand name on it. Then he had pants that was like $1,000 for a piece of material, and his shoes were like $5,000. And the lady, and he said to the lady, he said, "Well, I'm not good at math." He added up, and the simplicity and ignorance of that. You're buying all of that stuff, and you don't know how to do math. But it's a it's for power. We got a system of war. This one lady was saying, news lady said, "We America has been in war for over 20-something years, but we have never reaped the destruction of war. We've never seen the price of it. We just got out of one war, and now we're in another, helping another." And there are people behind them. That war is not a mistake. So if your eyes are open, you know, the same thing when God says that the Pharisees, and you thought it was just the Pharisees, no. They had somebody over there. The Roman system used them. They would go to them, you keep them in order. We have that now. And people have heads of church. And he said, "You know the tree by the fruit it bears. Go to God the Lord." He said, "If they are the Lord, they will bear the fruits of the Lord." He said, darkness and light can come out of the same system. It can't. God will speak darkness and their light. They're separate. So if you have a system calling itself under the doctrine of the word of God, it will not have darkness and light together. God is not of the world, and the world is not going to be in God's church. So if you have a version that is polluted, it's not going to, it doesn't have the pure word of God. Jesus was pure. There was no darkness in him. He preached nothing but the word of God. and its fullness, and it produced what it did: healing, deliverance, salvation.
And look at how many people that he touched, and how many people it transformed. Then and over time, now, because of the unadulterated, pure Holy Ghost word of God.
Yes. That's the only thing that can set a soul free. That's the only thing that can deliver a person. And I mean truly set them free, but they don't go back. And they are healed. And it, something else may come, but that system they learned by the word of God, the enemy will not prevail, because they will hold steadfast to that and speak that word which they know has power. So it's and the fact that they try to pollute it, you cannot pollute God's word. You can't stop it. You know. Even though they thought they had the Messiah, they didn't, because he came for that very purpose. And when they chose the other man, Pontius Pilate wanted to give them Barabbas, they wanted to take Jesus, Yeshua, because that was not the plan they got at. But in their mind, it was their plan, but not the plan of God. Because his plan was what? Yeshua would die on the cross and be risen in 3 days, like he said he would. And it was to for the salvation. For salvation. And if you know the word of God, you will not walk in fear, because God has told you from Genesis to Revelation what's going to happen. And God will have the last say. And all the kingdoms and all the darkness that they think they have gotten over with and will not face judgment, they will. And all of it will be destroyed. And those that are of the enemy know that that's coming. And they're going to do everything in their power to deceive many, to move them towards darkness. But, you know, God is God, you know, and he will always send his word out before the destruction comes. You know, he sent the prophets, he sent the prophetesses. You know, he gave that word to warn them, pre-warn them that destruction was coming. And he said, if you have eyes, the eyes to see and ears to hear, you'll hear it. You'll know it. You'll see it. Because so much is going on that a lot of people say, well, this has been going on for years and years. But in every destruction, people died in it. When the waves came, those waves high as a...
What I've noticed is a lot of the people that are in the system do not realize that they are in a system, but they don't know what the rules are. They don't know what they agreed to when they were little. And when you bring it to their attention, they're oblivious to what in the heck is going on. They have no idea. Like you were saying, it passed from generation to generation. And when you bring it to their attention, they're just, oh, I didn't know I agreed to that.
They have sold. And everything that God prophesied in Revelation is coming to pass. We're in the sixth seal. And before the seventh seal sounds, the ministry of God is already revealed. And with the Euphrates River drawn up as part of the sixth seal, we are in countdown time to the return of Christ. So everything that they trying to do is going to be for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They trying. You got to give it to them. They are trying, but it's for nothing. Because God has already got it prophesied what was going to happen and what he's going to do to them for what they are doing. And then he's speaking to his people through dreams and visions and stuff to get ready. So some of them are still asleep, but he's waking some of them up.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we like to focus a lot on what they're doing, and it's good, mindful that we do need to be aware of what they're doing, but I wouldn't put it too much into it more than what God is saying he's going to do.
Amen.
We're supposed to be watching for God's return with the signs that he gave us in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is popping off now to let us know what time it is.
Yeah.
So at this point, we really trying to wake up our brothers and sisters to let them know what time it is according to the Bible, and that any day now. Because he said he would cut these days short. We in these days. So he said he's going to cut them short. So any day now, Christ can return. The stage is set. Mm-hmm. Everything he said, he's watching over his word. Mm-hmm. That means God got it, everything under control.
Okay.
And we don't have to fear the first death.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to fear the first death.
Nope. It's the second death, honey. The first is nothing.
Control.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we still can be praying and interceding, and you know, for more of our people to wake up, just covering them, standing in the gap for them, and them under the name of Jesus, because the ones that's not woke, you know, the devil's sleeping them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Do you also think that we have to create, but that we also have to share to let them know what they're facing so that they can know how to navigate around what the system, how the systems are orchestrating to keep people blinded and keep them away from the truth?
Mm-hmm.
We're putting the truth out there. People are putting the truth out there, but people that's blinded, if God have those people blinded, until he's ready to appoint their wake-up time, they're not going to wake up.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing we can do is keep trying. That's what he tells us to do, to be a witness for him. That's all we can do is put the word out there. But we can't take it personal if they don't wake up yet.
That's so true.
They are on God's time when they're going to wake up. But we can't stand in the until they do wake up to cover, like our family members that sleep and friends or people, you know, that even that we don't even know around the world, praying for the house of Israel, you know, for protection and even dreams that God, I pray for God to give them dreams and visions to help them understand that they don't. Because a person, a babe in Christ today, if you tell them, oh, we're in the sixth seal, they don't know what that means. And then you don't have time to explain the whole Bible to them where they can get to the level where you at overnight, and it's not going to happen overnight. We grew up in church, so it was easy kind of when we started hearing that we were the children of the prophecies of the Bible. We could connect it to something because we grew up in the church or had heard the word enough. But a lot of people in church, so they can't connect those thoughts like that. But God did say he was going to speak to his people personally in their heart. So eventually, he's ready. He's going to speak to his people, and he's not going to lose not one of his. That's what Jesus said. He's not going to lose not one of his.
God is hearing
our prayers, so we take an agreement, praying, standing in the gap. God is hearing our prayers. So they, you know, they might barely make it, or may not have the best that they could have if they had woken up early. But we can't force them to wake up. We can only try to tell them, and then they label you crazy. You know, it is what it is, but. Are we crazy for believing the Bible, even though everything is coming to pass, what he said?
Oh, yeah. The prophecies are coming forth.
You know, he said, lift them up. If we grow and we let that light be more magnified, he said, if we lift them up, he'll draw them unto, unto him. You know, so we can bear witness, whether whatever gift we have, to grow in it. You know, you can give a revelation. You know, if God lets you see, if Jesus came to them people, that lady at the well, he gave her a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
He gave her the word. He looked at her and knew her life. He could not have known that unless the Spirit of God had given it to him. Mm-hmm. See, and there's things in us that as we grow and connect closer to God and start walking in them gifts, you know, God will send and give it to us. He will put you amongst the person that only has a part and has been certain and does not understand. But when you can say to that person something that only God knows, then a change comes. You know, because I grew up only a portion, not in the church that gave the word. So I was blinded. But I had bits of visions and dreams that I had no knowledge of. But when God came in the house and revealed himself to me, there was a change inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
Because a living God came in. I knew the dead God.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a living.
Mm-hmm.
You have a living God come in, having the whole thing flips up. So by us being true witnesses of God, because that's the only thing that can do anything. It's the light we have in us. But if we don't grow, and we don't line ourselves up, line upon line, precept upon precept, God said greater works that we will do than Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is bringing people, seeing signs and wonders, man. The signs were real.
Mm-hmm.
They were real. The weakness of God will move a person. And God can break, like the Bible says, break chains. That living word, and it set a man that was bound up.
Mm-hmm. Gotta continue giving the gospel of our Lord, of the Most High. We have to continue to releasing it because it's what he told us to do, but we also have to continue to watch, be watchful,
yes,
pray, and seeking his appearing as it is written. And we also have to be prepared ourselves.
Yes.
I mean, the prophecy is moving and it is coming forward. So the time, based on the prophecies, based on what is written, we can see that his word is true without a doubt. The word that is spoken by the prophets and the law and the commandments and based on everything that Abba Father left behind for us to know the way, it is coming to pass, definitely. And it looked like it's increasing in time. And with that, we should know that the word is true. Like, you know, we said, not everybody know. And we just need to continue to pray for them. Pray to the Father, because when we pray, we're communicating to him, and we're also believing that he's going to answer. So that's what we want to do now. So, Minister Belinda, can you pray for those that do not know, and that the Father reveal himself to them mightily, you know, and as the Holy Ghost is leading you?
Father, in the name of Yeshua, Lord, we come as a collective, God, before your throne, God. We come, God, in humbleness and humility, but in boldness as heirs, God. We believe your divine word, what it says. When more than one touch an agreement, and God will touch an agreement on the most powerful thing you've given us, and that's prayer and believing the word. God is reaching out to God right now. Those that are in darkness and don't know God, we ask God that you come, that you come to them.
Yeah.
Yes.